The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson and Barton Simmons. It's your call for the best college football coverage. From National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between, CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. That's Tom Fornelli. I'm Chip Patterson. And that's right. It's time for our bowl locks. So what we are going to do here, this is the first of three installments of the bowl locks. We are going to carry you right now through all the games on December 26th. Then we will be back with you early next week to preview all the games, at least through probably New Year's Eve-ish. And then one final that'll carry us through to New Year's Day and the games that are after that. Gentlemen, before we put a bow on the regular season title award, our champion recap championship week, it's been a minute. How are we feeling? It's exciting to be back with you here in the war room for the locks.
It's amateur psychologist week,
right?
Amateur
right.
psychologist month. It's all about motivation now. This is the fun part of the year. I haven't done a whole lot of digging, but I've tried to get a good grip on the psychology of things. So hopefully that means I'm ready for this.
It's weird because it starts on a Friday this year, and I feel like even though it's only starting one day earlier, it's like, whoa. Oh, wow. Okay, bowl season's already here. It doesn't feel like as long ago time. But, this is a more difficult time because of what you just mentioned, Barton, where it's like during the regular season, you kind of know what a team's motivation is simply because most of the games still count, and even the ones that don't still have some sort of meaning. Whereas in these games, you can never really be sure which team is going to care and which one just wants to get on with its life and move on to the off season. So there are so many factors at play that you don't really have to consider during the regular season that you have to for this, which makes it all the more difficult, but at the same time makes it a little more fun.
All right, before we get into it, let's go ahead and recap our championship week. Championship week, the winner of championship week was Tom. Congratulations,
yes, I'm
Tom.
The champion. That settles it. Boom.
It highlighted by a lock fight win, FAU over UAB. FAU thumped the Blazers in that game. Barton, he even gave you a half point. Tom got it at 7.5.
I should get a little credit for calling that I was going to lose that game. So I won the lock on missing my lock.
So, Tom also had a win on the under 56.5 in Ohio State, Wisconsin. Tom also won the Clemson minus 16.5 first half play, and then the under 64.5 in Boise, Hawaii. The losses, sadly, we just had a big ol' on our UNITY, Oklahoma minus 8. That was a loss. And then your other loss, Tom, was a lock agreement loss with Barton under 47 in Utah, Oregon. Oregon nearly covered that themselves. Once again, the lock agreement of Tom and Barton, an absolute kiss of death. 4-2 for the week, plus
the
two.
Strongest principal play out there, isn't it? Tom and me in lock agreements or lock fights, I mean.
Which, again, I'm the champ. I won championship week and in lock fights. I beat him 6-2.
Fortunately, we didn't have to go to the head-to-head tiebreaker.
I am the champion.
73-70-2 is Tom's season total. Chip, I came in second place for the week, winning Oregon plus 6.5, winning LSU minus 7, winning the under 57.5 in Memphis, Cincinnati, and winning Clemson minus 28.5. Oh, you thought that was too big? No, sir. Hawaii plus 14 was a loss. Ohio State minus 16.5 was a loss. And the Oklahoma loss from the Lock Unity, 4-3 for the week, 58-69 for the regular season. Barton, he had a big old lead, and so a 2-6 championship week record. He went a little heavy. He was a little bit concerned at the time, and that ended up proving to be true. We mentioned the UAB. We mentioned the Oklahoma. Throw on there also the under 55.5 in Clemson, Virginia. Memphis minus 9. That was also a loss as Cincinnati was able to keep it a little bit closer. And then the under 47 in Utah, Oregon was a loss. The wins, Clemson minus 28.5, a lock agreement with me, and LSU minus 7. We were lock agreement. We went 2-1 in lock agreement, Spartan.
Strong.
2-6 for the week, 70-54-5 for the season. Barton Simmons, congratulations.
On your second place finish.
You won the regular season championship.
You guys know that's a three-peat.
On the regular season championship?
On the regular season championship, that's a three-peat. I'm planning on retiring a la Michael Jordan, going and betting on baseball for a couple of years, getting my head beaten in, betting on baseball, and then coming back to football in my sweet spot and getting another three-peat.
We tied in the regular season last year, sir.
Yes, but the total unit breakdown. They got the tiebreaker there.
That's because you picked less games. I was more of a, I don't know, aggressive. I was braver. I had courage. I picked a whole five more games than you did.
It's all about making us money.
Are you guys ready? New slate. Everything's wiped clean. Bowl Locks Volume 1. You ready to lock it up?
Let's do it.
We're picking locks.
My Blue Plate Special 5-star locks are coming.
Since 2005 when Service Academy's
won. Look at these locks.
5-star master lock. Lock it up.
The under is 33-9-1. We've gone over it a million times.
You want these locks?
I'm living and dying every point, every cover.
All right, for the honors of Bowl Locks Volume 1, the T-Box belongs to Tom Fornelli. Games through the 26th. Take us where you want to go.
Well, I have a proposal. Why don't we, and because we don't know when people will be listening to these, should we just go in chronological order and see who has a game, who has a bet on each game by date?
Well, I have a lock for the very first game.
There you go.
So that game is the Bahamas Bowl. And my very first lock of the 2019 Lockspod Bowl-O-Rama is Charlotte minus 6.5. Or I'm sorry, Buffalo minus 6.5 against Charlotte. This is a nightmare matchup for Charlotte. Charlotte's biggest problem this season has been stopping the run. They rank 97th in yards allowed per game, 110th in yards per rush, and they're going up against a Buffalo team that not only runs the ball very often, but runs the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're averaging over 250 yards a game, 5 yards per carry. Those rank 9th and 28th respectively. And this is a matchup where there is also, for those of you longtime, you know, our weather forecast, this is going to be a very windy game. Barton, I don't know if you've heard the forecast for this game, but there are currently projected to be winds of 28 miles per hour blowing through Thomas Robinson Stadium in the Bahamas on Friday. It's just the totals pretty much already come down a touchdown because of that weather. So I feel like a lot of the value is gone on the total, which makes me want to take the spread a bit more because I do think that Buffalo still has a significant advantage. And plus, as I've discussed, Buffalo likes to run the ball a lot. Charlotte is a team that's a run-first team, though it doesn't run quite as often as Buffalo does. So I'm not sure if the wind is going to have that major of an impact on them, considering we've already lost 6 points of value on the total. So I think this is just a very, very bad match for Charlotte, who had terrific season, a terrific finish to their season to get to a bowl game. It's their first, right, Chip?
First ever bowl game, a 5-game winning streak to close the season was a new school record. And Buffalo, only its 7th bowl game ever, still looking for its first bowl win.
Yeah, so this is a great story for Charlotte. It's just I don't think it's going to have the storybook ending. I think that Buffalo is going to have a bit too much for them in the Bahamas on Friday afternoon, and they're going to start off the bowl season with a win and a cover for Tom.
Barton, do you have a play here?
Do you have a play on this, Chip?
What? Wrong one. And the great wrinkle for this play is that this is the locks exclusive. This is only for the diehard listeners of the Cover 3 podcast, because if you go and find any of the picks that I was asked to give on Selection Sunday or on Monday or on Tuesday, then you'll find me taking Charlotte. And I will admit that I was taking Charlotte as part homer, part investment in sort of the Will Healy enterprise. And as soon I had to write the preview for this for CBSSports.com, and when it came time to actually write the bowl preview and really dig in and do some research, I was like, oh no, this is the worst possible matchup for Charlotte. And there's no motivational edge for Charlotte here against a Buffalo team under Lance Leopold, great coach who's been building this thing up, and they are still looking for their first ever program win. Jarrett Patterson is just a dynamite runner. They've got 2,000-yard rushers. Yeah, I think that this is not a good matchup for Charlotte at all. So if you saw me on CBS Sports HQ, which of course you can watch at CBSSportsHQ.com or on the CBS Sports app on your Apple TV, Roku device, or on any Apple device, I was probably picking Charlotte. But I'll tell you here that my lock is actually going to be on Buffalo.
So, all right, full disclosure here. All right, so I had Buffalo written down for most of my research of this slate of games. And then as I circled back and sort of double-checked what I wanted to play, I started just thinking, I actually have Charlotte written down. I switched just thinking, hey, I think Buffalo's going to win because of a lot of things you guys said, but this is still, I mean, Charlotte definitely wants to be there too. Like this is going to be partially because of the conditions. This could get a little sloppy, a little crazy, a little weird.
A Charlotte bet is on weird. It is that this game, like even if Buffalo wins, it's going to be by 3, 4, 6 points.
Right. Exactly. So I'm a little torn right now because I've got a lot of emotional investment in both sides of this because I've been on both sides of this in the lead up here. I'm going to just join in. I don't want to make this contentious from the start here. Let's go Buffalo -6.5.
All right.
That's the way to kick off bowl season, right?
Yeah. I
mean, holiday season too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Holiday season. And plus, let's be real. Like, who is more equipped for kind of gross, soggy, depressing weather? Buffalo or Charlotte? I think Buffalo is. I think Buffalo is more conditioned to that. Not only because of where they are from, but the conference they play in. They've seen a couple nasty nights in their day. I'll take the experience there.
Charlotte merely adopted the darkness. Buffalo was born in it.
And we're getting it on the short side of a touchdown too, which mm-hmm. even in the event of an overtime might be able to bring us home the W. So, all right, we'll keep going in some chronological order. So I guess that makes sense too if you're a listener and you need to fast forward beyond it. So our next bowl game is going to be Frisco Bowl. Is that right? Utah State, Kent State?
Yes, sir.
Frisco Bowl, Utah State against Kent State. Utah State is down to a 6.5 point favorite after opening to 8. 67.5 is your total. I have a play on the total. Does anybody else have a play?
I do.
I am going to play this one too.
Okay. Barton, where are you going?
I am going to go fade the Mac. Getting the fade the Mac principle going earlier. Just played the Mac, now I'm going to fade the Mac. Last year, the Mac went 1-5, I believe, in the bowl games, with an average margin of defeat at around 8 or 9 points. And that includes an Ohio 27-point shellacking over San Diego State, which is a little bit inexplicable. But in this one, from a motivational standpoint, so Jordan Love is playing, and Jordan Love is going to the NFL.
Are we sure he's going to play?
Is that why the line moved? I thought he was playing.
Well, he got busted on a weed charge.
When?
2 days ago? 2 nights ago? I mean, it's a misdemeanor marijuana possession charge. Him and two other teammates got, I mean, it was what the cops got called on them. They walked in. Utah State is aware of the incident, and they have not made any announcement. But the question is, will there be any punishment? Will it be for the full game? Will it be not starting? Will it be for the quarter? Will it be for the half? I think that as somebody who's looking to back Utah State, it is important to be aware of all those possibilities.
Yeah, and it's also Gerald Bright was one of the three, wasn't he?
Mm.
That's their leading rusher. Oh. Yes. Wait, 12 hours ago. Hold on.
You guys have really thrown a wrench into my airplane prep for this
police!
Podcast.
Help! Police! Help! Police! Help! Help! Police! Help!
This is from KSL.com earlier today it was last updated at 8:13 p.m. so about 15 minutes ago. Three Utah State football players have been cleared to play in the Aggies bowl game this weekend after being charged with possession.
Yes.
Jordan Love, Gerald Bright, and Sean Carter were each charged Tuesday with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana spice, a Class B misdemeanor, according to blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. It just goes into details. But the lead is they have been cleared to play. Now, they could still be like a, you know, sit a quarter situation. We don't know that for sure.
Right, right, right. Not start.
Why would you sit? I don't know. Let's see. I mean,
remember when Kevin Sumlin made Johnny Manziel sit like two series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have a feeling there's going to be some kind of punishment for this.
Yeah.
I just don't think you could let that slide without.
Okay. Do you have a feeling that Kent State is going to capitalize on whatever that punishment is? Maybe they will. Maybe they will. But fade the Mac. The principal says that they won't. So, look, the reality here remains the same. This was a disappointing year for Utah State. They've got good individual players. New coaching staff hadn't clicked. New offense hadn't clicked. But this is still one last showcase for Jordan Love on his way to the NFL. Now that we've confirmed and clarified he's going to be playing in the game, I am going to go ahead and play the Aggies, Utah State -6.5.
And to back you up even beyond that, it's been not just last year. In terms of the overall MAC record, we'll go ahead and introduce this since it might come up again. But over the last 10 seasons, the MAC is 20-39-1 against the spread in bowl games, the worst of any FBS conference.
It's so bad.
If you want to start with the principle of fade the MAC, it's not a bad starting principle. Barton is locked in with Utah State here. Tom, are you on the total?
Yes, I am.
Dang, I guess we gotta.
Yeah, I'm taking. Yep.
Yeah,
we're taking the under. Yeah. Because this is a situation where, like, I think Utah State's a perfectly fine play on the spread too, because I do think that they're a much better team than Kent State, who, like Charlotte before it, is a very good story, but is probably outgunned here. And I think that to go back to Buffalo with the whole fade the Mac principle, I think Buffalo's in a different situation because it's going against a Conference USA team, which is not exactly a juggernaut itself of a conference, whereas Utah State's been a good team in the Mountain West, which is the more difficult of those two conferences. So as far as this game is concerned, though, even with now that we know that they've been cleared, part of the thought process behind it was, well, the total's kind of high as it is. And if Jordan Love and Gerald Bright are going to miss some time or miss the game altogether, that's clearly going to have an impact on the Utah State offense. So I think that we're looking at a situation where the Aggies are going to be scoring most of the points in this game because I think they're going to be winning this game. It's just, let's say that, you know, Jordan Love and those guys have to sit out a quarter or maybe just a possession or two. That's still a couple possessions in a game with the totals at 67. So if those possessions turn out to be empty because you don't have your starting quarterback and your starting running back and one of your receivers out there, that's only going to play to the under's favor. And I look at this Kent State team, and it's not a team that, you know, is something of a juggernaut. They offensively, they played five teams this year that are in bowl games. They scored 13.8 points per game in those five games. Yeah. This is a team that kind of, you know, just beat up on bad teams, which is what you want to do. It's not an insult when I say it, but they beat up on bad teams and they struggled in these kinds of matchups against better teams. And I think that offensively they're going to struggle here. So that total is too high for me as it is. And then with the questions surrounding possible suspensions or just, you know, in-game kind of punishments, it seems like the smart play to me.
I mean, it could be 41-10. Be a yeah. blowout, and we get this under by two touchdowns. So that's why I'm on it, too. I don't know how many points Kent State's going to score. The Celebration Bowl down in Atlanta, North Carolina A&T from the MEAC, Alcorn State from the SWAC. 2.5-point favorites for the Aggies, over under 51.5. Anyone getting in on the Celebration Bowl?
I would love to play that game, but I did not have time to do the research necessary to make a play on that. Sorry.
I'm not locking it up, but I would Aggies. Take A&T before I took Alcorn.
Absolutely. That is a championship program. Mm-hmm. Central Michigan against San Diego State. I believe this is the New Mexico Bowl. We got 3.5 is what we're looking at. San Diego State, short favorite against Jim McElwain and the Chippewas. Over under of 41 at the moment. Any locks here?
Nah.
Yeah. Nope. Oh, baby, I got two.
Whoa.
Number one, we're going to San Diego State -3.5.
Definitely the under on the other side of it.
Yeah, and the under, too.
You're not playing an over in San Diego State game. So no. The only other option is under.
Yeah, this San Diego State is a team that, like Central Michigan, got a little bit hot late in the season. Jim McElwain got the offense going. They put up like 30 plus points in four or five of their last couple games, and that is a good sign for a program that had one little step back of a year. But man, San Diego State, this is just kind of what they do, and they once again got a defense that ranks in the top five in a lot of major statistical categories, special teams that ranks among the top 10 in the country. And so I kind of think that in the experience vein and sort of looking at the different ways that San Diego State's going to try to play this game, I really think that we're dealing with another classic 24-14 San Diego State type win. So 41's a low, low number for a bowl game. I understand it, but we're also dealing with a noon local time kickoff. And yeah, I'll be on the Aztecs. Give me San Diego State -3.5 and the under at 41. No debate.
I applaud you.
Yeah, there's nothing else in this game that I would really want. So, I mean, I don't love the spread as much as I like the under. But again, the whole fade the Mac principle just feels like that's a safe way to go.
The 41's tight. 41 is really, really, really tight. Okay, let's go to Orlando for the Cure Bowl. You can see this on CBS Sports Network. You can stream it on CBSSports.com or through the CBS Sports mobile app. All you need to do is log in through your cable provider. It's Georgia Southern against Liberty. Georgia Southern, a four-point favorite, 4.5 in some shops as well, over-under of 58.5. Anybody, any takers?
I am a taker, sir.
All right. Tom?
I will take, it's 4.5 simple. I will take Liberty plus 4.5. Liberty's going to win outright, man. This is a matchup where, you know, option offense is their biggest benefit or their biggest, you know, the biggest pro is that teams don't see them a lot. And during the season, typically, don't have a lot of time to prepare for them. Well, Liberty's had plenty of time to prepare for Georgia Southern, which on the whole has been somewhat of an up and down team this year. It's had its high points. You know, it beat Appalachian State, but it's had its down points too, where it's lost games that you don't usually see Georgia Southern lose, at least not, you know, in recent years and recent vintages. And I think that this is a bad matchup for them because Liberty offensively is pretty explosive. Like, using my explosiveness metric, they're one of the more explosive total offenses in the country, and they're really explosive in the passing game, which if we flip that to where Georgia Southern lines up, defensively overall, they're pretty good stopping the run, and that kind of helps their overall numbers. But when you look at the pass, man, they have given up a lot of big plays in the passing game, and I just feel like that's a very bad matchup. On the flip side, though, they're good offensively, obviously, in the run game. Liberty's defense is not exactly anything anybody's going to consider to be awesome. So it's not like I think that Georgia Southern is not going to get points. I think this is going to be kind of a back-and-forth shootout-ish affair, although I don't really love the over, although I don't think the over is a horrible play if anybody wants to go that direction. I just think that Liberty is going to win this game, and it's definitely going to cover more often than not. So I'm taking the Flames plus 4.5.
Chip.
Oh, I've got no good read on Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern has thrown me all kinds of loops, and that unknown for me is what's keeping me away.
Well, you can't possibly have a good read on, like, Liberty. They played New Mexico State twice, crying out loud. Like, you can't possibly have a good read on Liberty either. So
I think I know what Liberty is more than I know what Georgia Southern is.
Yeah, and Liberty held itself up well in games against, you know, against like BYU. It lost by 7 on the road. It put up 27 on Virginia. It put up 34 on the road against Rutgers. It's been a team that's gotten better. I don't think it's a great team, on the flip side, it's not like I feel like Georgia Southern has done a whole lot this year to make me stand up and take notice of them either.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not playing this game, but I'm just saying Liberty's wins, they have 7 wins. 2 of them are against FCS teams.
Yes, yes.
One of them is against UMass, and the other 3 are for teams in New Mexico, one of which happened twice. Like, that is the most absurd group of wins by any team in the history of that I can ever remember, where there's actually 7 of them.
Yeah, they have a very UAB-ish resume.
like just think about this. This is like kind of blows my mind. They beat Buffalo. All right, so that's I'll give that to them. It's a quality win. They beat FCS Hampton. They beat FCS Maine. They beat UMass. They beat New Mexico, New Mexico State, and New Mexico State again.
They're all fine programs.
Like, they are all. What the hell?
Listen, those are all college football programs.
with varying numbers of scholarships available.
Right, right. They are all college football programs that offer scholarships to play football.
Those are all programs that have players that will go on to be accountants that say they played college football. Like
Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
So yeah, anyways, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen in this game. I had a radio signing day radio interview, and it was before signing day, and I was not in college football mode, and it was in Virginia, and I was asked to preview Liberty Georgia Southern, and I wasn't ready for that, and so I'm still not ready for it, and I'll let you play that one, Tom.
In my rating system, Liberty's schedule does rank 129th in the country. 130th was UAB. Georgia Southern's 95th, by the way, though. So it's not like they've been, you know.
So UAB's schedule is worse than that?
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah,
no wonder FAU rocked them last week.
Yeah. I told you, it's like all their wins, except for the one where either FCS teams or bottom 25 teams. And Liberty's is in the same way. It's just Liberty played more Power 5 teams in its non-conference schedule, and like teams like BYU, which kind of inflated its SOS overall. But yeah, playing New Mexico State twice kind of dragged it down along with the two FCS games.
So when you got asked that question, it was funny. On ESPN, I think in the last 2 days, Adam Schefter got asked about Urban Meyer in the NFL, and the answer he gave, I don't know if y'all watch Parks and Rec, but it's kind of Perd Hapley-ish. Like, he just explained, he was like, well, what would happen is they would reach out to see if they could gauge interest, and if interested, there might be a meeting, and if the meeting goes well, there could be an interview, and then maybe we might see Urban Meyer in the NFL.
It's oh, like, wow.
Nice. 30 seconds done.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
And so it's like, Barton, can you preview Liberty Georgia Southern at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time in Orlando, Florida at Orlando City Stadium? Liberty will play Georgia Southern. Both teams have a 7-5 record.
Right. But the problem with that is because I was rolling with such strong, like, I was in such signing day mode. I didn't need any computer or notes in front of me. So I think I'm sitting there like in the car or something. And so I don't know their records. And y'all know me. Like, I don't even know the name of the bowl they're in. Like, I certainly don't know the city it's in. So that's not even an option. So I was just basically going like, yeah, contrasting styles, option, RPO, maybe a lot of points scored, and just sort of talking about that sort of stuff.
Well, Tom just said he doesn't hate the over. That was not a bad answer.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever told you this story, Chip. I'm pretty sure I have. But a few years ago, I was doing a radio hit somewhere. And, you know, that they call. I get on there. And I'm on with the host. And all of a sudden, they're asking me NFL questions. And I'm not an NFL. You know, it's like, but I follow it. So I was just like, yeah, okay, screw it. I went with it. And I'm sitting there answering all these questions about, like, whatever the scandal was with the Patriots at the time. I'm talking about Eli Manning's career and his future. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I did like 15, 20 minutes talking about a sport that I don't cover. And I don't know if they ever realized it or not.
Just like casual fan radio.
Yes.
We're going to have a casual fan on.
like, finally, I get to just share my NFL thoughts somewhere.
Been bubbling up for years. All right, let's turn our attention to the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl down at FAU Football Stadium in Boca Raton. SMU, a 3-point favorite against FAU, which will be playing at home. Over-under of 69.5. Of course, we've got FAU playing in their home stadium. No Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin off to Ole Miss. Willie Taggart, who will be the next coach. I'm sure he's going to be a part of the broadcast or something. I mean, this is the ABC game at 3:30 Eastern time on that Saturday, the 21st. I've got a play on this. Anybody else in it?
I do.
Is it SMU?
What is Charlie Weiss Jr.'s role in this game? Is he like the interim head coach at this point or what? Like, is he just running the show at 25?
I don't think he's running the show.
Coaches. Who is FAU's interim coach?
I don't know. I know that Charlie Weiss Jr. didn't come to is not the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. So,
Spencer.
Okay. Glenn Spencer.
Glenn Spencer.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's been a head coach.
And FAU's players publicly endorsed him for the job, and then they hired Willie Taggart.
Whoops.
I'm on SMU.
So am I.
Let's hear the children.
A lot of agreement in this podcast between you and I, Chip.
That might differ a little bit. We had to do all those videos, right?
Yeah.
We didn't
do these games together though.
This one to me is all about the different coaching staffs, number one, and also as I'm testing out a principle of the team that plays the home game for the bowl game. I actually don't think that's an advantage at all. And so, you know, Sonny Dykes, Rhett Lashley, Shane Buechel, an SMU team that in winning 10 games was sort of like a triumphant moment for everyone involved, a big step forward for the program. I think that might be a little bit of a motivational edge against an FAU team in transition without a head coach playing in its home stadium. And then on top of that, I just think that SMU is a really good football team that's a little bit more battle-tested from playing in the American. So, yeah, give me SMU. They might win this game comfortably.
Yeah, I mean, we're aligned on a lot of that because, again, yeah, like, you know, we talked about the motivation. Well, Lane Kiffin's gone, so, you know, you're playing in your own stadium, so it's not like really a reward as much as you have to wonder if it just feels like, okay, well, it's another game, and we've got a new coach coming in anyway. So, yeah, I look at these two teams. Neither are very good defensively. So if you want the over, I don't think it's horrible, but just be advised that it's going to be pretty windy in Boca. This current forecast as we record this say it's going to be about 17-mile-an-hour winds. So that's something to keep in mind. But it's just these two offenses are both very good. I think SMU's offense is better overall. The numbers indicate that SMU's offense is slightly better. But as you said, Chip, SMU has done it against much tougher competition than Florida Atlantic has in the Conference USA, which is pretty much the unofficial conference of the bottom 25 this year. Just so many bottom 25 teams hanging out in Conference USA this year. I mean, meanwhile, the American Athletic Conference for a good portion of the season in my rankings was better than the ACC. The ACC caught up to it at the end and passed it just a little bit. So I think that SMU is probably better prepared from a talent-wise aspect in this game. I think that in a game that could be very shootouty over 60 minutes, I think SMU's just got a little too much, pun intended, horsepower to take out the Owls. I'm laying it with the Mustangs.
So in the interest of trying to limit my action in some of these games I'm a little less familiar with and haven't had a lot of time to prep for, I am not playing this one. I had a little bit of an SMU lean for a lot of the reasons you guys are talking about, but I'm a little spooked also by, you know, ghost head coached teams did pretty well last year. If they're good going in, they're going to, and if you believe in the coach, they're going to be good in the bowl game too. That's what happened with App State last year. That's what happened with Utah State last year. Those two teams rolled without their head coach. And so I'm not fully confident that SMU's or that FAU won't look really good, so I'm going to stay away.
Coming up on the other side, what should we expect from Washington and Chris Peterson in his last game going up against Boise State, his former team, and more of the early slate of bowl games next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, that brings us to FIU and Arkansas State. This is the Camellia Bowl, kicking off at 5:30 Eastern Time on Saturday. Arkansas State, a short favorite in this game, right now around 2.5. Anybody got FIU, Arkansas State plays?
Nothing here.
No, sir.
That is a big old...
Get out of here, Camellia Bowl.
I wish I could...
Where's the Camellia Bowl?
In the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery. Home of the Blue-Gray game, right? Or is that the Senior Bowl?
No, Senior Bowl's in Mobile.
Senior Bowl's in Mobile.
Yeah. So what's in Montgomery? What else is in the Crampton Bowl? Is there something else that's... Oh, I might be completely off and thinking of something else.
Well, I guess that gives us...
Did the Senior Bowl used to be in the Crampton Bowl?
I don't know.
Well, either way. I've been to the Crampton Bowl before. I've seen some high school football games in the Crampton Bowl. It's Montgomery is not a destination city, so I wonder who wants to be in this game.
I'm going to say Arkansas State. If you make me pick, I'm going Arkansas State.
There's no psychology here that I can find that makes me, because this, a Crampton Bowl game is a psychology game, and I'm not finding a psychological edge, so I'm out.
Crampton Bowl hosted the Blue Gray game from 1938 until 2001.
There you go.
If I'm going to give anything, the other Arkansas State angle is a fade Butch Davis play, but that is only anecdotally from remembering his Meineke Car Care Bowl performances against West Virginia and Pittsburgh, where North Carolina did not show up with anything really creative or spunky going on. That's all I got.
To me, these have just been two very up and down teams, as you typically find with teams that are like 7-5 and 6-6. It's really hard to know which team is going to show up, which makes it difficult to pick.
However, we do have a big step up as we get to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. This one's going to be on ABC. It is the Las Vegas Bowl. The Las Vegas Bowl, it's got the Pac-12 against the Mountain West. Then it'll be trading out for some SEC teams from time to time, Big Ten teams from time to time, Las Vegas Bowl moving on up. This edition of it is the Chris Peterson Experience, as we've got Coach Pete going up against Boise State, where he became a walking, living legend within college football, one of the winningest coaches in terms of percentage. Washington, in Peterson's farewell, is a 3.5-point favorite. Over under of 49.5. Who's got to play?
This is more my speed here.
Oh, I can play this. Nice.
Am I alone here? Or you guys got plays too?
I'm out.
Oh, all right. Floor's mine. Okay. Well, ultimately, the psychology season, and you've got a legendary head coach hanging it up. He's got one last game. He's got his kids are going to try to win one for him. I also think that Washington is – that they're like if this team is dialed in, focused, has a good game plan, I think they'll have all those things. I still believe in this team from a talent standpoint. I still believe that any sort of, and there's reason to think that they could show up disinterested in this game if not for the Chris Peterson effect. But I think the Chris Peterson deal will get them focused for practice. I think the coaches are going to want to make sure that they send him out right. And I just like Washington here to win and cover.
Yeah, I have this in my six-pack for this week, and I took Washington to win and cover. I just don't like it enough to lock it up. But, you know, it's called the six-pack, so I have to include six games, you know.
I took Washington to cover less about Peterson and more about a Boise State team that I think has been good, especially compared – like, this Boise State team has been very solid – but I think that there have been better Boise State teams. And if you are just betting the brand and if you're just betting the whole like Boise State, what you're used to seeing. I mean, didn't Boise State win this game last year against Oregon?
Yeah, last year or the year before. It's been a recent one, yeah.
And I think that compared to some of these recent Boise State teams that have all been contending for Mountain West titles, that have all been, you know, getting those kind of, you know, getting that kind of the Florida State type win where you show up and where you get a good Power Five victory. I just think that as the season went on, this Broncos team, you know, get great defense. They probably want to run the ball in terms of their DNA, but man, Washington's D is not going to give Boise State an inch in this game. So yeah, Bart and I endorse your pick, but it's not one of my locks.
I will say the hook scares me a little bit. I think this could be close. Probably will be close. So I could see a 4-point win, 3-point win, somewhere in that range. So you know, maybe think about buying that hook.
Saturday's nightcap takes us to New Orleans Bowl. It's the where the Sun Belt champion goes and the runner-up in the Conference USA, that is Appalachian State, going up against UAB. App State, a whopping 16.5-point favorite. Anybody got a play?
No, sir.
No, I think App State is going to win by 17 points, and so that line's too good. If I was going to play, I'd play App State just because of what UAB did last week. I mean, what was that score? Like 40, not last week, whenever the championship week
49
was.
To 3, I think.
49 to 6, maybe?
Something like that. Yeah, it was six, not. It was,
six are on the board?
Wasn't great for the Blazers. It was 49 to 6, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think App State's pretty legit. Obviously, their coach is gone, but they've already done this once with a new coach, and they just promoted the interim guy anyway, so I think that App State's gonna take care of business here.
I was thinking under if you're gonna make a play here, because if the only thing, not the only thing, that is not fair, but the thing that UAB does best is defense, and Zach Thomas, Darrington Evans, the rest of that App State offense is really, really, really good, but I don't know how many points UAB is going to score against Appalachian State. So if my lean here was I was a little bit scared off of 16.5, but at 47.5, if I don't think UAB is going to get to 20. You know, I don't even know if they're going to get to 14. So I maybe lean under there, but not a lock.
You know what the most critical part of this game is? In my rating system, Appalachian State's ranked number 10. So with Liberty playing Georgia Southern and UAB playing Appalachian State, UAB might no longer have the worst schedule in the country after this one, you guys. Whoa.
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 Congratulations, Bill Clark.
Congrats to the Blazers.
There is only one game on Monday, December 23rd. It's at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it's in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium, home of the Bucks. We've got UCF going up against Marshall. It is the Gasparilla Bowl. UCF minus 17 is your spread. Are we at 17? 17 and a half? A little bit all over the place?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I got to play on this game.
Let's hear it.
UCF minus 17.
Ooh. Are you just putting all the info out there? UCF's offensive coordinator, Jeff Lebby, is currently at Ole Miss. So I think Josh Heupel can probably handle things okay, but I'm just making sure you got all the info, you folks out there.
Yeah, I got that info. I think UCF was I am worried about the motivational angle because UCF is a team that has been, you know, contending for New Year's Six bowls and playing for AAC championships, and they haven't done it this year. Now, if that leads to them not showing up here in a game where they're just driving from Orlando to Tampa, that could be a little bit of a problem. I understand that.
Is the classic national champion who's, you know, coming in next season not playing for a national championship anymore? How motivated is a national champion going to be in a game like this? I get it.
Yeah. I'm gonna stick with talent here. I think UCF is a little bit. I think UCF still was a team that could have won the East. I think Cincinnati won a game on an opportunistic night that was perfect for Luke Fickell and the Bearcats. I think that the squad itself still could have contended for the conference championship. So give me UCF.
I'm not locking anything up, but just for information purposes for our listeners, the forecast currently calls for temperatures in the low 60s with winds between 17 and 19 miles an hour. So that should have something maybe to do with your thoughts. But for some trends, the good news for Chip is that UCF's 5-2 against the spread in its last 7 non-conference games. But the bad news for Chip is that UCF is 2-7 against the spread in its last 9 overall, and it was favored in all 9 of those. Meanwhile, Marshall, last 7 bowl games, Doc Holliday, 7-0 against the spread. But Marshall, 3-7 against the spread in its last 10 overall, and 2-6 in its last 8 non-conference games. So, I mean, just based on that bowl trend, though, it's pretty clear that Doc Holliday is going to have his guys ready to play in this game. It's just, will that be enough to stick within 17 of a very explosive UCF offense? I don't know. Tune in Monday afternoon and find out.
Great Doc Holliday bowl spread line or number. That's. I feel like we talked about that last year too. That's strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to put it out there. It's done. UCF.
No turning back. The card's at the window.
The lock's
like, I'll be your huckleberry.
The locks doc has been updated. Anybody want to dare jump on Marshall?
I'm not locking it up, but Marshall, when I've done HQ hits on it, Marshall has been the direction I've gone. Yeah.
You never really know how Marshall's going to win.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pick them because it's very hard to figure out how it's going to happen. They just sort of do it.
Tune in 2:30 Monday afternoon, Tuesday, December 24th. We're going out to the Hawaii Bowl. Hawaii hosting this, Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. BYU is going to be visiting. BYU is a 2-point favorite in this game. I've got to play on it. Anybody else?
I've got to play.
Dang. Barton? All right. Let's how are we going to find separation here?
I don't know. This is my lock of the week. I mean, I am grateful. This game is on Christmas Eve, and I am grateful that it has returned to Christmas Eve where it rightfully belongs. Last year, it was like a couple days before, and it just Christmas Eve and my sisters just didn't feel the same without a football game for me to watch. I'm also grateful that this game is a Hawaii home game because, man, do I love fading Hawaii at home. For those who are somewhat new to our podcast, since 2014, Hawaii is 13-26-1 against the spread at home. When it is a home underdog, it is 6-11 against the spread. if we dig even deeper, we want to get past the trends. Warriors are 9-5 on the season. They've played 7 teams with losing records. In those games, they scored 39.1 points per game. In 6 games against teams that didn't have a losing record and are currently in a bowl, Hawaii scored 26.8 points per game. So that's nearly a 2-touchdown difference based on the opposition that they're playing. And finally, no team in the country has turned the ball over more often than Hawaii. Through 14 games, the Rainbow Warriors have 30 turnovers. 30. I think that this is a very bad matchup for Hawaii. We saw earlier this year BYU went against an air raid offense like USC and had a very good strategy for it. Really, you know, threw Kidon Slovis for a loop. Obviously, Hawaii doesn't run an air raid, but it does run a run and shoot, which is very similar. And I think we're going to see a lot of zone coverages where they're going to be like, hey, Cole McDonald, make the smart decision. And again, 30 turnovers in 14 games suggests that Cole McDonald sometimes has problems making the smart decision. So I love BYU on Christmas Eve. I can't wait to be sitting in my sister's eating some, you know, I don't know what I'll probably be eating cookies at that point once the game starts. Just watching BYU route the Warriors, me getting my cover, getting a win in my locks pot.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, just put on the tape of rush 3, drop 8, Keaton Slovis freaks out and throws an interception.
Also, these two played last year, and I don't remember the exact score, but I do remember BYU blowed them out. Let's see, what the final score in last year's meeting between BYU and Hawaii was, where is that? Yeah, 49-23 BYU. Of course, that was in Provo, but still.
Yeah.
I think you're going to win this.
-2? Nah, that's too short. Taking us on the other side, Merry Christmas. Yay! Thursday, December 26th, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Miami. 6-point favorite against Louisiana Tech. Anybody got to play?
Let's freaking go. Are you guys on this game?
No.
Nope.
But I'm going heavy, heavy on Louisiana Tech.
J'Mar Smith playing?
Do what?
J'Mar Smith? Is that where we start?
I don't know. I don't know anything about what's going on in Louisiana Tech. I haven't checked. But I have. We're talking about psychology. Month of psychology. This is a psychological absolute juggernaut here that you want to bet against in Miami. I mean, what, like, this is how you play them in the regular season, is you sort of find the holes where they're going to be not super juiced up about a game, and or, you know, the letdown spots is really profitable with Miami. I was down in Fort Lauderdale for the signing day show at CBS HQ. And I spoke with a local media member that I will not name, only because I don't know if he wants to, you know, I don't know if he wants his name out there. But he brought it up to me. He was like, yeah, you got a locks pod coming up. He was like, you fade Miami, right? And I was like, I don't know. I hadn't thought about it because I hadn't thought about any of this yet. So he brought this to my attention, and I love this because, seriously, they're going to Shreveport? Like, you think they they care? Apparently, they got all kinds of, like they're playing all the quarterbacks again. Who knows who the starter is? Tate Martell's taking snaps again at quarterback. I just saw come across my Twitter feed. One of the linebackers has said he's not playing in the game because he's sitting out for the NFL draft. There is a don't give a whatever in this spot here for Miami. And so you're talking about Louisiana Tech is to play the U with an opportunity to beat the U, and the U doesn't care. They don't care that they're there. And so this is my first psychology season spot here where I'm going to feel good about Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I was asked to give a play for this on Sportsline because of my record on Louisiana Tech and Miami games this year, and I'm also on Louisiana Tech. I just don't want to lock it up. I feel like five of them already in a short week is I'm pushing my luck.
The DNA of this Miami roster has blown it against Wisconsin in the Orange Bowl, then blown it against Wisconsin in last year's bowl in such a poor performance that Mark Richt got fired after the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some bowl motivation issues with the current personnel. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think that it is fair for Miami's bowl performance to be a referendum on Manny Diaz, but it probably will be. I don't think he's going to get fired.
Is this a must-win game for Manny Diaz?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I really do feel like the Manny Diaz, confidence is, and not that it should be high, but I mean, it is a
signing day didn't go well. Low point. Yeah.
Yeah. The old intro presser of the days of praising Manny Diaz for his intro presser feels like a long time ago.
And finally, on December 26th at night, we go out to Ford Field for the world famous Quick Lane Bowl. It's going to be Pitt going up against Eastern Michigan. Pitt is a 10.5 or 11 point favorite, depending on where you get it. I got to play in this game. Anybody else with me?
I'm sitting it out.
Yeah, you got this, man.
We are taking the sledgehammer and we are going up to the concrete wall and we are knocking him down. Because we are lining up with Chris Creighton, and we are taking Eastern Michigan plus 11 against the Pitt Panthers. The Pitt Panthers, in the regular season finale, lost a game to Boston College that got Boston College bowl eligible as Steve Adazio was well on his way from a hot seat to being on the way out. The Pitt Panthers, under Pat Narduzzi, are 0-3 in bowl games. It is debatable as to whether this Pitt team is a plus value added team in the bowl season. And you're asking them to cover a double digit spread? I gave all those statistics about why you should fade the MAC, and yet here I am back in Eastern Michigan. I am either way misguided on this one, or we are going to find some real value with a fired up Eastern Michigan team and a Pitt roster that, you know what, Ford Field, it's kind of a, bring your own energy kind of situation with a massive NFL stadium that is not going to be full. And I just think that, you know, with everything we've seen from Pitt so far, going 0-3 with losses against the likes of Stanford last year, by the way, not like a good Stanford team, Northwestern and Navy, those are Pat Narduzzi's three bowl losses. I think that Eastern Michigan can keep this thing within double digits. So keep this thing in single digits. So give me Eastern Michigan plus 11.
Listen, you called Eastern Michigan a MAC team. They're a Big Ten team, Chip. They've won against Big Ten teams the last 3 years.
In bowl games?
No, but in the regular season. They've beaten Purdue, Illinois, and who was the third? I can't remember now. Maybe it was Indiana. I can't remember.
Relegate Rutgers at Eastern Michigan.
No, it was Rutgers. That's
what there it is.
Well,
okay, so it's beaten two Big Ten teams.
So yeah, as I'm looking for, you know, classic, great angle that everyone should research when they're making their picks is what have these coaches done in bowl games. Pat Narduzzi is 0-3 as a head coach in bowl games with losses to last year's Stanford, Northwestern, and Navy. So, yeah, give me Eastern Michigan plus 11.
So, on my initial run-through, I wrote Pitt down my minus 11, and then I circled back. I was like, what are we doing here? Of course you don't trust Pitt in this spot. To win by 11? You're probably right.
Pat,
right
side no, there. Listen. Pitt would love to win this game by a field goal.
Yeah, they would prefer that.
Right.
They want to feel alive just like the rest of us.
Let's review our bowl locks for this volume one. And we get things started at 2 p.m. on Friday with the... It's a buffalo. Buffalo minus 6.5 is the lock. Unity. All right, Tom is on under 68 in Utah State, Kent State, Liberty plus 4.5, BYU minus 2, SMU minus 3. Barton, in addition to Buffalo, is going to be taking Utah State minus 6.5, Washington minus 3, and Louisiana Tech plus 6. Chip is just, I think that I've had to pick too many games because this is a loaded card. Buffalo minus 6.5, under 68 in Utah State, Kent State, San Diego State minus 3.5, BYU minus 2, SMU minus 3, UCF minus 17, the under 41 in San Diego State, Central Michigan, and Eastern Michigan plus, plus 11.
Listen, there are 13 bowl games that we're including in this episode, and Chip has 8 locks. Now, 2 of them are in the same game, but still, 7 of the 13 games, Chip's got action.
My man is hungry.
He's been starving these last couple weeks without any games.
Seriously.
I feel really good about this.
I've seen you on a lot of HQ talking about this stuff, so I think you maybe you've talked yourself into a lot, and I know how that goes. So glad you could unload some info.
Okay, we will be back early next week with a Bowl Locks Volume 2 that will include the college football playoff semifinals. So make sure that you subscribe to the feed. Make sure you go and check out the Bowl Challenge available on Sportsline. You can follow him on Twitter at Tom Fornelli. You can follow him at Barton Simmons. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.